We're here every week. It's Adam and Pat. And a guest and a bottle of vodka and a song we stole from Keyboard Cat. We drop lots of F-bombs, made jokes about poo. But not even we could come up with something like the Reamer Club from Purdue. Black Arkle Podcast, my friend. And Black Arkle Podcast till the end. Black Arkle Podcast. Jacoby from his house and Vent from his den. We spent 2 years disparaging Arizona with Tom Horney and Gila Ben. We talked WrestleMania, though it isn't a sport. It's the audio equivalent of a post on Bleacher Report. Black Arkle Podcast, my friend. And Black Arkle Podcast till the end. Black Arkle Podcast. On again, Black Arkle Podcast, Black Arkle Podcast, no time for podcast, just Black Arkle Podcast of the world.
Black Arkle Podcast 50. That's right, 50, the big L. Wait, that didn't sound right.
Black Heart Gold Pants, the L word.
The L word, yes. The BHGP word. Pat Vent, Adam Jacoby. Adam, congratulations. Welcome to the party.
Hey, and a huge congratulations to you too. And let's pretend that we listen to the theme song live right before, like... Those were some good jokes, hey.
My, that discussion of Arizona was funny.
Oh, boy. That reminds me of so many things that we already did. And if let's you, talk about them.
If you listen very closely, you can hear the sound of Freddie Mercury rolling over in his grave.
I would take it one step further. I think he is crawling out of the grave to bite you and give you zombie eggs.
Oh. Oh, wow. Too soon.
Over the line.
I think we just lost our guests now. They don't want to be involved in a podcast that would include a Freddie Mercury zombie age joke right off the bat. But no, hey, it's Podcast 50. We have a long list of people, frequent guests, frequent contributors, guys that we love coming on to the show tonight, starting with our buddies from Off Tackle Empire, Graham Filler, Bama Hawkeye. Gentlemen, what's going on? Graham,
I'm just happy to be here. Jersey Shore's on, so my concentration might be a little waning, but I'll try.
Yeah, I can't hold a candle to Snooki.
But because she's shorter than you, well, it would be below your reach.
Okay, Bama, are you also watching Jersey Shore?
I'm not, actually. I'm watching, actually, as this is going on, I'm watching DJ K's Twitter feed, which is talking quite quite positively about the Hawkeyes coming up in the next season. He has some very nice comments, not just about some of the wide receivers and Vandenberg, but also about some of the defensive guys too. So it's been nice to watch.
Hey Tom, now is positive talking like, hey man, things look good, like yeah, we're gonna be all right? Because I just don't think that's football inspired positive talk. I think it's inspired by other things actually.
Aww.
But that's just
no,
I'm just saying, you know, it's a possibility.
And as we tape this today, my law school classmate actually dropped one of the charges against DJ K today.
Hey!
So,
three cheers for Iowa Law.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and it was such a substantial charge that they dropped too, something that the judge totally would have left in.
Right.
So it's podcast 50. First off, what have you guys been doing over at OTE now that the season is over?
Well, we have a conference call on Monday, which, you know, we'll catch about half of the writers on. And I think we're going to do a little bit of review, and I think we're best in the off season. Like, I remember when Tom blew up the Penn State blogosphere with his Penn State Doesn't Have the Plow Horses article. That was like our first major article on OTE, which was then the rivalry. And so, you know, we're going to be having a lot of fun with review. I think we're going to be talking about how the Big Ten probably wasn't that good this year. You know, 11-1 Michigan State was actually like an 8-4 team or a 9-3 team. So some of that, and I've got a fun article coming up about how, you know, is it okay for me to root for Michigan even though I didn't go to Michigan? So we'll see.
That's interesting. And what's your hypothesis on that?
Well, my hypothesis is this, is that if you're from Iowa, you pretty much have the go-ahead to root for Iowa no matter what. Now, that's just me guessing. You guys can tell me if I'm wrong.
I think you're absolutely right, but I think you're going to have about all 12 Iowa State fans angry with you.
Well, they'll get over it real quick when they find out how to plug in their internets. If you grow up in Michigan, though, it's going to be an issue. People will be like, you root for Michigan, but you're from, you know, you're not from the area. You don't have family. What's your, you know, some people will give you some grief over that. So I just want to have some discussion, and, you know, it's bound to be an interesting article. It's something I sort of figured out in the last year.
And I think there's also another level of it at this, in that, and this is just my own personal opinion, and living in Alabama, let me tell you, I've seen this in a couple of different regards. If you grow up rooting for one of the schools, that's fine. If you then go to the other school in the state, I think that throws a whole big monkey wrench into it. You know, mm-hmm. and Graham, you didn't attend Michigan State. Had you gone and been, you know, spent either law school or undergrad at Sparty, I don't know. Can you then still root for Michigan?
Right, and then you're going to run into some huge issues. I mean, even if you went, well, I went to Miami of Ohio for undergrad and Detroit Mercy, which is a Catholic, smaller law school, about 150 people in my class in Detroit, and I feel sort of uncomfortable lately, even though I'm very immersed in the Michigan program, some insiders and all that stuff. So I just think it'll be interesting.
Would it be fair to say that you are not a Michigan man?
Did you coin that phrase? Because that is interesting.
Yeah, it came from the I've never heard this before side of my brain.
I'm going to start calling you AWOW. I got to say, it's like I'm a little bit worried about that I may not be a Michigan man, and that may be an issue. So we'll see.
The Michigan man thing never gets old. Bam, I wanted to ask you this because I was talking to a coworker today about this, and the topic of conversation turned to Cyrus Curangelo, who's the offensive lineman from Maryland, who's now apparently down to Alabama Auburn, who came out of nowhere, and I don't know how they possibly could except for
cha-ching.
Yes. And Iowa and New Mexico. His brother is at Alabama. So, Bama, as a
as one of the few people that we have who has kind of a ground level view of how the dynamic plays down there. Is there any way he could go to Auburn with his brother at Alabama, seeing how he's not even from the state?
You know, I'm willing to bet that there is a story of siblings who are on Alabama and Auburn simultaneously. I don't know it off the top of my head, and I bet there are, you know, Alabama fans who could rattle it off quickly. I just don't know it. I think coming from out of state is the only reason you could get away with that. I think if you were from in-state, that would never fly.
Right.
But, no, the talk in Tuscaloosa is that he will be with the Crimson Tide. So, and yeah. I was thinking through this, since I've been down in Alabama, which is coming up now on 5 years and a couple of months here, there's only been one other recruiting battle that I can recall between Alabama and Iowa for a football player, and that was for Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa didn't win that one, as you may recall.
Oh.
But I don't think Ingram really panned
out.
How
did that Ingram guy end up?
You know, it actually ended up he not going to play a senior year. So I think he was one of them that got lost in the overseas that gave an athlete program before his senior year so that way he could
Saban
sign
strikes
somebody.
Again.
Yeah. So the expectation is that he's going to be joining his brother here in Tuscaloosa. I would love to see him in black and gold. I think he'd be a heck of a piece to add onto that offensive line for next year, probably right off the bat.
So. I don't know. I'm a little dubious as to whether he would actually play right off the bat, and that's saying nothing about Iowa's current crop of linemen whatsoever. But you know, when you read on Max Preps that you know, his coaches are saying, yeah, he's enormously talented. Still a little raw. He still has much to learn. That has 3 years on the sideline under Kirk Ferentz written all over it.
See, and I keep thinking that means that he's going to get the Ferentz "you must play guard first" rule applied,
yeah.
And that you'll still have Rice and Suvekis out on the end, but he'll start at one of the guard spots.
I think that's probably more likely.
He'll cut his teeth there.
By the way, Adam.
Yes.
Max Preps. Really?
Hey.
that's like me having an AOL address or something. What? What's wrong with this?
No. The only reason I say that is because there was that article about him was linked on the front page of.
That was on Bleacher Report, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, now that's low. That's low.
That's very low.
Come on, guys. Hey, guys, can we just discuss? I know I don't have much time. Can we discuss the BIG, the Big Ten logo? You know, the B black B and the blue 1G.
Absolutely. Have at it.
Yeah, it sucks. End of discussion.
I gotta be honest. I love it because every time I see it, I see BIG, PO, PPA, no info for the. DEA, federal agents,
mad because I'm flagrant damsel in a fool in the basement. Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Damn right.
I love it.
I went
to see the Notorious B.I.G. when it came out in Detroit. People were standing up and cheering in the theater, and it was a great experience. So I think we stick with the logo.
And once again, Michigan.
I don't think it matters. I think all of that is going to be stick no matter what. I think it's just wait until everybody forgets about how much they hated it and let them get used to it.
Yeah. No, I think we're going to end up with much like we've heard from many places along the blogosphere where it'll effectively become Big Ten East, Big Ten West because the names are so dumb that no one will remember them. The only people that will actually be referencing the names will be the Big Ten Network.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, well, it wouldn't be Podcast 50 if we didn't leave some time for you two to lavish praise on us. So please, go ahead.
Well, actually, I don't have praise to lavish on you, gentlemen. but I thought about this, and I know that this is, you know, this is a big occasion. This is 50. And so I wanted to give you something, and I wanted a gift, but it also had to be something, one, free, and two, something that I could give you during the podcast. And so I have this. I hope you'll give me just a minute to read this to you.
No, I'm sorry. We're actually out of time.
You're going to... Now, here we go. Please. Let it be known to all those who hear this proclamation. Whereas The brilliance of Iowa College of Law graduates has created a popular internet weblog called Blackheart Gold Pants. Whereas, this weblog has tracked the success and failure of the Iowa Athletic Department. Whereas, in all of the mocking that they have done of athletes, coaches, celebrities, and paternos, they have never turned us into characters. Whereas, the weblog Blackheart Gold Pants has shown a distinct civic purpose by establishing the proper pronunciation of LOL.
Thank you.
LOL.
Sorry.
Whereas, the authors of the weblog have shown that the best attorney bloggers are graduates of the University of Iowa College of Law. Whereas this weblog is celebrating its 50th anniversary podcast, it is our honor, with all the power still residing in us, to name March 2011 as Blackheart Gold Month throughout the halls of Boyd Law Building. Signed, N. William Hines, Carolyn Jones, Deans Emeritus, the University of Iowa College of Law.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations, gentlemen.
The greatest present ever. I'm going to go back and plant a flag. They're going to say, like, wait, did you actually come to school here?
As I get the alumni magazine, I keep waiting for the write-up about the blog in the alumni notes.
Yeah, they I've been trying to avoid them at all costs. I really don't think they realize I went to school there. Like, they have to actually check the rules to find me because I was so infrequently in the building. I think they probably forget that I was ever there. But
they'll remember real quick once you start making donations.
Right, exactly. I've actually got this harebrained idea where I'm going to become now I live in Des Moines, I'm going to become like the T. Boone Pickens of Drake. I'm just going to take over Drake's athletic program. It's going to be great.
I appreciate that you're aiming for T. Boone Pickens and not Phil Knight.
Right.
I think
you, I don't have that kind of
style. You want to take over the department, you just don't want to have success while you do it.
I want to hire blowhards and go 8-4. That's all I want. All right, boys. Well, we've kept you more than long enough. We appreciate all the support that we get from Off Tackle Empire, both on the podcast and on the website itself. And thanks a lot. And remind all of our readers, listeners, and however else you might get this in Braille or Carrier Pigeon or whatever, that they can catch you both at Off Tackle Empire.
Congratulations, John.
Thank you. Yeah, congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Chris.
Yeah, hold on one second. My iTunes is, like, completely frozen right now.
So you're just waiting for implosion?
Yeah, I'm just trying to... Oh, okay, good. Gone, finally.
Must be because it's cold out. It's frozen.
It is. We're actually getting the snow you guys had yesterday. So, yeah, it's frozen. I have nothing, sorry.
That's all right.
What's going on?
This is all going to stay in, I think, because quite frankly, we're just putting everybody together in.
Oh, is that right?
In one long string. I mean, not like everything. We'll cut a little bit. But the midget porn stays. The midget porn stays.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. If you aren't already have figured this out, if you haven't already figured this out, guess three, guess one in our hearts, really though.
Aww.
Run up the score. Chris from Slow States, formerly of Run Up the Score.
I played in a midget golf tournament, by the way. It was sponsored by the Pennsylvania Dutch chapter of the Little People of America.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, we need a rundown. Let's go.
Okay, yeah.
So,
okay, well, first of all...
Do the midgets use little clubs?
Totally, yes.
Yes.
And they have little shoes and real size golf carts, unfortunately.
Oh! Are there extensions for the pedals on the carts?
I don't think so. I mean, golf carts are pretty small. Even, you know, I think they have no issues with that.
Was Ryan Seacrest? Although,
you know, was he one of them? No, but he somehow would have fit in. It was pretty fantastic. You know, a bunch of them were getting hammered. It was interesting. It was definitely it was especially good last year because the previous year it had been rained out.
Wait. You've played this multiple years?
No, just once, because the first year I was going to play it, it was totally rained out. My brother came from Maryland to go to it, and the poor little guys would have been washed away. I mean, it was really bad.
I have so many questions that I need to have answered. Like, please, okay, first of all, which tees did they tee off from?
Oh.
Did they start from, like, the middle of the fairway?
They got one of those, you know, the pressure guns they use to shoot t-shirts into the They got one of those. They have to stand on top of the golf cart and fire, just shoulder launch.
How far can they drive? Are they normal size, like, Titleists?
You mean the balls?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally normal size balls. And some of those little fuckers hit the shit out of the ball.
Like, hit the shit out of it by little people standards?
I mean, like, a solid, I saw a few, like, say, 230 drives, which is really all I can do. You know?
Okay,
I play fat old man golf. Like, I use 7-woods and stuff like that. So, yeah, a few of them, I would venture that a few of them would outdrive me.
Okay, and my last question. How in the world are you – you said you were playing in this.
Yes.
That is the worst cheating I've ever heard of.
And you know, it did not help me one bit. It was a fantastic fundraiser for the Pennsylvania Dutch chapter of the Little People of America. And they give you a steak dinner afterwards. Oh, and they're big on gambling. Like, there's a betting. there's some sort of, like, gambling game every single. Oh, shit! The absolute best part about this is that on one of the holes, it's on one of the par three holes, they have a big circle on the green, say, like a 10. Actually, it's pretty small. It's maybe a 6 or 8 foot radius. And you can put however money you want down on the tee, and if you hit it within the circle, you win your money back. It's sort of a blind shot. Mm-hmm. So what they have is a little person in a folding chair on the green wearing a hard hat with a radio in his hand. He calls back and says if you won or not, and it's fantastic. And you I've heard about this for years now, and for, you know, the first 2 years we sort of couldn't play for various reasons. Finally,
because
last
not
year,
a little person.
But he was there. He was there just waiting, you know, just happy as anyone could be, happy to see us. And yes, he was putting himself in danger for the cause. So good on him.
Well, that's been Chris from.
It's been fun.
We have to stop there.
Okay, now I have questions. Okay. What is the first off? What's the format? Is it four-man best ball?
Oh, it's a scramble.
Scramble?
Yeah.
Four-man scramble?
Yeah.
What's the typical winning score?
You know what? I'm really not sure. I know we definitely were not it. We were very, very bad that day, and we're not great to begin with.
Do you have to break 60?
No, it's not like that. I would say low 60s.
Okay. What's the mix of little people to normal people?
I would say it is approximately either even or, say, 3-2, big to little.
Okay, okay. So it wasn't like you and...
But there's plenty to go around. No, it wasn't like... I wasn't like Oliver. No,
there's plenty of little people to toss around.
No, I wasn't surrounded and fearing for my life. Like, you know, I wasn't calculating how many of them I think I could make at one time.
You weren't Jack Black and Gulliver's Travels, is what
you're
saying?
No.
Okay, good.
Because if you get outnumbered, it gets creepy, let's face it. You know, because you wonder how many of them you could actually fend off if it came to that.
Well, I think as long as you've got
I don't think my number's any more than 3.
Well, but you have a golf club and a longer golf club and a longer reach and all that.
Yeah,
so
that's true. I do have the reach advantage.
All you have to do is just tornado it a little bit and you could probably fend off 6 or 8 or something.
Helicopter style, I could do it.
You're yeah, right. Exactly, exactly.
Helicopter so, rides.
So here's, I have one more question. Okay. You said that this is for a fundraiser, right?
Yes.
So, did they still do the big check? What's the answer? I want to know.
Unfortunately, I did not see a big check. They did have some sort of raffle afterwards that was very disappointing, and that I was drunkenly claiming was fixed, like in the banquet hall, screaming out that it was fixed. You should come and play next year.
Oh, believe me, if the invitation's at the table, I am there.
Yeah, it's worth
neither,
it.
Not rain, nor snow, nor sleet, nor hail will stop me from being at the Little People Golf Tournament in Pennsylvania.
It's pretty fantastic.
Especially if it's Pennsylvania Dutch country. It's lovely.
It is. It's lovely.
You guys remember the time that Chris Walken was on Saturday Night Live? Yes, that one time.
Yeah.
And then he was doing the interview with the centaur doctor.
I vaguely remember it.
This feels like that, where it's like all the questions will be about centaurs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, I do remember this. Oh, you're right.
Will there be any questions about me as a doctor? The rest will be centaur-related questions.
I'm happy to have provided this service and this publicity for the fine ladies and gentlemen of the Pennsylvania Dutch chapter of Little People of America.
You know, I think you've probably done more tonight than you probably did paying the entry fee and playing the tournament.
I think you're right.
We've got a lot of listeners, and they're known as very tolerant of all people.
Yes.
Any size
of the shades. I planned to come on here tonight and say such nice things about Iowa and Iowans and your site and
there's
your
still
podcast.
Time.
No, I think we're out of time. I think maybe maybe these things should go unsaid.
Hey, Chris, we didn't have a slow stage this week. Give me a beer and a music recommendation.
Oh, you know, I think I've recently crowned a new favorite beer of mine, and that is Le Fin du Monde from Unibrow. I had one out in St. Louis during that training for my new job in October, and my local supermarket, which is one of the few supermarkets who actually carries such beer, has giant 750-milliliter bottles for, I think, $8 or $9. So that's pretty fantastic. Music-wise, you know, I just finally took some of your advice, and I think Kevin's as well, listened to the Broken Bells album, which I've really sort of fallen for over the last few days. So thank you for that recommendation. That would be the end. I'm happy to have spoken about Little People and shed some light on this horrible affliction.
That's really all we need.
Yeah.
Chris Grovitz, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, thank you. What's up, guys? How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
He beat all the charges, it looks like.
Federal agent's mad because he's flagrant. We've heard that's the second reference to not just B.I.G., but that one line of B.I.G. tonight.
Yes. You missed the first one.
That's sad and pathetic all at the same time.
Yes.
Well, I've been playing a Street Fighter 2. Hyper fighting for the past 30 minutes, so you broke my monotony, but it was wonderful. I was reliving my childhood once more.
What platform?
I was playing with my Wii, just for sake of saying.
How do they have that for Wii? Is it just like flip the controller sideways and play like old Nintendo?
No, they've got a classic controller attachment, so I play like the old Mario Kart, like all the old Nintendo 64 games, etc.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
I have not yet to buy that for the Wii. I have picked up the Nerf steering wheel for Mario Kart though.
That's outstanding.
Yes, because when you're playing like 14 hours of Mario Kart, you can't have your hands bleeding. Padding. Cushion.
Well, you should be
sex life as a result. Yeah.
or if that's,
that's the problem.
I think I just admitted on air that I play 14 hours of Mario Kart every once in a while.
Right, right. And it's the side effects that are the problem, not playing 14 hours of Mario Kart.
Right. Let's get the formal introduction out of the way. Mason Brew Dave on the line.
Gentlemen.
Dave, welcome to Podcast 50.
Well, it's an honor beyond honors.
Yes, you are in a rare group of people, like the 12 people that have been on our 50 podcasts so far. we just keep going back for the same ones over and over again. What's going on? Oh, purveyor of all things Brady Hokish.
It's been a pretty crazy couple of weeks, man. I mean, I got what I kind of predicted. I've been saying privately for a while that if Michigan got blown out in the Gator Bowl, Rich Rod was gone. And, well, lo and behold, we didn't just get blown out. Yeah.
You got really blown out.
You got worst ever blown out. That's,
by
definition, a whole new level of getting blown out.
You know, I'm looking for, like, the proper metaphor for this. The only thing I can think of is the Spanish in Cuba during the Spanish-American War. It was just a complete rout.
That's a very interesting move. So who's Teddy Roosevelt then?
I believe that makes Dan Mullen. No,
no. I feel like it's got to be somebody from a third part. Like, is it Cam Newton? Is Cecil Newton? Teddy Roosevelt in the circumstance.
So you're asking me who bombed the Michigan Lustentania or whatever it was?
Remember the Maine.
The Maine, there you go. Yes. The liberal arts degree has not been wasted. Oh, yeah. Anyway, our Maine got sunk and so did our coach. So, but, you know, honestly, the search was just bizarre. I don't think anyone has a clue what's going on. I mean, you've had backbiting, infighting, you know, complaining, bitching, moaning, all of the above. Some people exceedingly happy. We've got all the old football players from the 97-98 championship team. They're basically singing Kumbaya right now. And they're ecstatic that a quote-unquote Michigan man has been rehired. And then you've got people like Brian Cook, who were, you know, real big Rodriguez supporters, who are still pissed that we've gone back to, you know, a quote-unquote Michigan man in the sense that we're going back to the old boring, you know, Lloyd Carr-esque football. But
there's, I mean, come on, there's no way that just from the fact that Brady Hoke used to coach under Carr, that doesn't mean he's going to be punting from the 35-yard line all the time, right? Like, that's not a given.
God, hell if I know. Carr's still in Schimbeckler Hall, so it's entirely possible. But no,
that's true.
I don't think. I really don't think so. I honestly don't have a clue what to expect out of Al Borges. You know, the Borg, as he is called, he's a pro-style guy. I don't have a friggin' clue how he's going to use Robinson in the set. Somebody had suggested that it was going to be kind of like probably like the way Tyrod Taylor's been used at Virginia Tech the last few years. And that both intrigues and frightens me because that means we're going to be throwing against Boise State with 2 minutes left and when we need to run out the clock. So
I'm thinking he's going to get used a lot more like Danny Woodhead with the New England Patriots, but that's just me. The move does, I mean, it makes sense in kind of a short-term sense. But, Dave, I mean, don't you think Michigan's in a better spot right now if they would have kept Rodriguez and just fired the whole defensive staff?
You know, I don't know.
Yes, I mean, yes, yes. I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
I'm going to say, I mean, I was an ardent Rodriguez supporter. I thought he was a great guy. But the one thing that I kept seeing year in, year out, no matter who was coaching, no matter what sets they were running, is watching a defense get worse and worse and worse. And no matter what the stats say, I don't think the offense was as good overall as it was last year for large stretches of the season. I mean, the thing that I kept looking at was, you know, were we competitive in these games? And Michigan was more competitive in the games last year when it was 7-5. I mean, they actually, if you take a look at how far behind Michigan was at the end of the first half this year compared to last year, it's not even close. When we lost games, I think the average, you know, the average margin of the average deficit was maybe 9 points the year prior, and this past year it was 16 points. I mean, we were getting blown out the first half of games and then, you know, putting points up on their scrubs in the second half. I mean, if you look at the Wisconsin game, it's a perfect example of that. If you look at
Iowa,
for instance. I mean, it's just the team wasn't as good as people want to believe it was, and the offense wasn't as good as people want to believe it was. They ran up a lot of points against Notre Dame, and everyone just kind of believed it was a 550-yard a game, 30-point extravaganza that was supposed to happen every game, and that just wasn't what was happening.
I'll also point out that not only was the defense getting worse and worse and worse, somehow it kept getting younger and younger and younger. Which, I mean,
how was that possible?
Eventually it has to go back to the coaches. And yeah, there was some bad luck with injuries and stuff like that. But, I mean, if you can't even keep the same, like, group of guys on the field for, you know, 4 years straight, or, you know what I mean. Like, if you can't develop seniors develop juniors with any reliability, then that's a massive, massive failure. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that was the issue, is that as I've looked at it, and I mean, honestly, I would have loved to have had Rodriguez around another year. I mean, he was just a good guy. And I say that having personally met him, dealt with him on numerous occasions. Like, just a nice guy who honestly cared about the players and really felt that he was doing the best thing that he could. But that said, I mean, you got to have some kind of results. I mean, the defense just kept getting worse. And this is a guy that was a linebacker in college. I just don't get how he thinks that some variation of a 3-3-5 is going to work in this league. It was just mind-boggling. I don't get it. I don't know what his defensive philosophy was. I don't even know if he had one. I mean, hiring Greg Robinson was worse than hiring Scott Schaefer. And it's just one bad mistake after the next. I mean, he wouldn't get rid of guys that obviously couldn't coach their positions. I mean, he'd promote from within for guys that were decent recruiters but couldn't coach a position to save their life. So you look at the disaster in our secondary, you look at the absolute and complete failure of our linebackers to develop, and that was in charge of the defensive coordinator. So I just don't see how our defense was going to get any better next year with Rodriguez around.
Now, Michigan's hired Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator Greg Mattson, who looks like Don Flamenco, 25 years older.
He is a handsome man, I tell you this.
Like if you put a rose in his ear and had him throw ridiculous uppercuts over and over again. And let me tell you this, if you punch him in a left-right combination to the head, he'll never stop you. You can knock him out eventually. Just keep throwing lefts and rights. We've taken the Don Flamenco reference a little too far. Clearly, the bona fides are there.
It's utterly amazing. I took a look at what his defenses have put out over the last 12 years. As long as he's basically been a defensive coordinator, I looked at from the first time they stepped up as in 1995 as defensive coordinator for Michigan, all the way to the 2007 defense for Florida when they met up in the Citrus Bowl with Michigan. And it's truly amazing just how good some of those defenses were. I mean, you look even as last year when he was the defensive line coach at Notre Dame, when Ty Willingham was basically taking a nap and somebody else was in charge as the defensive coordinator, the pass defense for Notre Dame was 116th. As the defensive line coach, the rush defense for Notre Dame that year was fourth in the country. I mean, are you kidding me? And you keep taking a look around. Like, I think he's fielded, when he's been the defensive coordinator for 8 of the 12 years since he was first promoted to defensive coordinator in 1995, for 8 of those years when he was a DC, he had five teams that were in the top 20 of overall defense. I mean, you can't get better credentials than that at the college level.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. And so, I mean, I know that he was a former Michigan assistant, but how does he go from the Ravens back to the Wolverines?
You know, what I've read so far is that he and Brady Hoke are like two best friends. They've got BFF bracelets. They Skype each other every day, and I mean that over the internet, nothing sexual. But as far as I understand, they were just two buddies that just really wanted to coach together again. And when Hoke got the job at Michigan, this was the one job apparently that Mattson said he'd come back and do if his buddy got, his dream job. So I really don't have an answer for it, but I mean, I think it was either John or Jack Harbaugh came out. Whoever, I can't remember the name of the Ravens coach, but I know it's a Harbaugh. One of the Harbaugh came out and said, this, he would never leave for anywhere else, but to go work for Brady Hoke and to go back to Michigan. Those two things had to be in place for him to come back. And, you know, the other thing is, too, is that I think Michigan threw some serious change at him. So, yeah.
Well, they saved money on the head coach.
I think we're paying him $25 and a box of donuts a month.
Yeah.
And that really pumps him up. No!
Extra sprinkles.
I keep waiting for him to have a press conference where he sounds exactly like Rocky at the end of the fight in Rocky III.
Which one? Wait, Hoke or Madsen?
Hoke. I mean, like, I the whole thing is just right there.
I keep waiting for him to sound either like Ed Orgeron or Jeff Garlin, because the physical resemblance.
That's quite the...
I mean, he looks like if they made a butt baby with each other, but... I don't know which speaking genes he got out of that.
Is there a Larry in the coaching staff that can fill in for Larry David?
You know, I got nothing, man. I mean, he has got entirely different. I mean, he just sounds like a football coach, but he's unlike any coach I've ever heard. It's just a different vernacular. It's not Midwest. It's not Southern. It's not Western. It's Hoke.
It's gridiron.
Well, I for one am looking forward immensely to the Brady Hoke era. I something just strikes me is he seems like he's almost perfect for this job because there are so many people who are so pissed off about him. Like, it's almost counterintuitive. Like, he almost has to be great at this job now because everybody's pissed off about it.
You know, that whole hiring thing has just been bizarre to me. It's, you know, I mean, it was assumed that Harbaugh was going to get the job. Then it was assumed that Miles was going to get the job. Then it was assumed that they go out and get somebody else. You know, they pull some magic feather out of their ass and sprinkle pixie dust, and all of a sudden this magical coach named either Cower or the mythical John Gruden, who I don't think exists really and is just CGI at this point.
This guy.
But, I mean, there's just – I don't know what people were – I mean, for everything I've heard from people on the inside said that there was no way Miles was – ever going to be offered that job. I mean, it had more to do with internal politics in Jim Beckler Hall dating back to his time at Michigan originally, which is why he was no longer there. And then, you know, I've also heard plenty of people saying that Harbaugh had made it perfectly clear he was going to the NFL. So,
okay. You know, I was about to ask that, if you considered it on any level a failure on Michigan's part not to get Harbaugh.
You know, I thought about it initially, and it's one of those things that you get stuff after the fact as you watch things kind of go. I wasn't really shocked that Harbaugh went to the NFL. I mean, you think about it. He lives out there. He's got a house right on the beach. He's got his family. He doesn't have to move. He gets $5 million a year, and he doesn't have to recruit. So that's a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think all that stuff mixed together said, you know what? And I think the other thing is, too, is he took a look and said, you know what? I don't want to walk into that environment. It's a big enough screw-up right now that if something doesn't go immediately right, he was basically going to go in there and walking on water until the football kicked off in September. And if anything went wrong, all of a sudden that rug's going to get yanked out from under him. So I think he probably said, you know what, the money, the location, everything else, it's better to be a Michigan man and maybe come back when I'm ready to come back to college rather than right now when I'm at the start of my NFL career. Sure. As for Miles, it just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what you're left with. You're left with, you know, a lot of questions. You're left with a lot of people that, you know, aren't going to come out and say, oh, I was interviewed because I don't want to get fired. And the only other person that was of note that was apparently approached or interviewed or talked to that everyone has, you know, got a consensus on was Pat Fitzgerald. And if, you know, Dave Brandon is going up and going after, well, who I consider a very good coach and an incredible recruiter and somebody that we're all going to have to be very worried about in the coming years, like Pat Fitzgerald, he's doing his job right.
Mm-hmm.
So when that one fell, I didn't necessarily like the Hoke hire in the sense that, you know, I expected a big name. I wanted a big name. It, you know, had to be a big name for some artificial reason. But think about it. Jim Tressel, Kirk Ferentz, right. You just go down the list. I mean, the guys that have been very good coaches for a very long time aren't necessarily big-name guys that were big-name guys somewhere else before they came to Michigan or Ohio State, Iowa. I mean, I think you got to find somebody who fits not just the system or the expectations, but is just a good fit for the school. And I think Hoke really fits that. He kind of embodies that this is the only place on earth you should ever want to play mentality that Michigan has. There's no understanding that, well, you know, I can understand why you're interested in this other school. It's, no, this is the only school, which is kind of how Michigan people think. So in that sense, he's a great cultural fit. I think he's a decent football coach. I mean, anybody who puts, you know, Ball State at 12-1 has to be doing something right. And he also, you know, he went from, you know, I think it was a 4-8 team to a 9-4, you know, a 9-3 team this past year. So the guy's doing something right.
Right.
So hopefully that'll pay off for us in the long run. I'm really excited about the defensive hire more than anything else, because when you're 116th in total defense for three straight years, you got to get excited when the Ravens defensive coordinator signs on.
Yeah. Well, he's not Norm Parker, but he's close. I'm just making a joke.
They're horrible jokes. I'm just going to stop now.
Yes. Well, it's Podcast 50, Dave, and as many of our listeners already know, you and I had a podcast going for a while that kind of went a little quiet there.
Yes.
You know, other events showed up, you know, namely that our teams went south. And that was about when it all fell apart. But
that was when the bloodletting happened. With
that
me.
Was when we were both on the air just screaming at each other, like, ah, how was your team? Ah, and that was the entire podcast. But
it does need to resume at some point. When,
we do need to bring it back. That absolutely has to happen. And we'll give you the floor now. You got a minute or 2 minutes or however long you want to talk about how awesome we are.
Oh, talk about how awesome you guys are. Well, actually,
you gotta keep it relevant.
Yeah.
Well, you know, since this is 50, you know, there was, I actually have to credit you guys for kind of bringing me back from the dead, after last season's debacle. I was completely worn out after the end of the 2009 season, just completely done. Like, I'd watched basically half of Ohio State come to my stadium and fill the damn place up. I'd watched our team get booed the year before at home. You know, it just been a miserable 2 years. And I was just completely spent. I hadn't posted anything since, I want to say, since the end of November, and was seriously contemplating hanging up the keyboard. And I don't know what it was. Like, I kind of clicked around one day before the Orange Bowl, and, of course, went to Blackheart Gold Pants.
Woo.
And saw you guys getting ready for the Orange Bowl, and just the enthusiasm of everybody that was on there, just, you know, the hilarity of the writing, just the relevance of the writing, the participation of all the great posters that you guys have. I really started getting excited again, because it reminded me that this is supposed to be fun, goddammit. I didn't start doing this because it's, you know, a drain of my time or something that makes me feel miserable about myself, like the last 3 years have been for the most part, but that there is just a really great part of being excited about your alma mater, excited about your football team, and having fun with it along the way. And so you guys brought me back and brought Mason Brew back from the dead. So if you're looking for high praise, I can't say anything higher. You guys have kept me writing.
Well, that's actually legitimate praise.
That makes me happy.
I'm very happy. Thanks, Dave.
Hey, it's the truth, guys. If it wasn't for those Orange Bowl posts, I mean, Mason Brew would probably be in other hands right now.
And then we got into basketball season, and, well, quite frankly, that's so depressing that either we don't even want to talk about it. So,
no.
Mrs. Brew just walked in and says hello.
Hey, Mrs. Brew.
Hello, Mrs. Brew.
Who are you talking to in here?
All right, well,
families
with that,
Dave. Dave, go take care of your wife.
Yeah.
All right.
With your pants off.
That part off.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Mason Brew Dave.
Thank you, gentlemen.